don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome to Education Nation, where every Saturday morning at 10:30, we grab our second cup of coffee and tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom, along with co-host Mark Durkin. School is now in session.
Well, good morning, and thank you for joining us here on Education Nation. I'm your host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and it's such a privilege to be here with our listening audience discussing these important topics on education on Saturday mornings. And I'm joined in studio once again with the producer of Education Nation and co-host, Mark Durkin.
And a very good morning to you again, Rebecca.
Good morning to you. And last week, we were without you because you were sick and under the weather.
I was without a voice and without the ability to not cough for a little bit, kind of going around everywhere, isn't it?
It is. It has swept across, I think, every school across the state of Minnesota. So you are amongst many.
Yes, and the immune system is a lot stronger now.
Glad to hear it. Well, and we gave you a cough drop, hoping that you don't start coughing in our show
that
today.
And water.
Right?
I'm set to go.
That's right. Well, I tell you, in February, or actually, you know, March. Actually, we're in early March now. The 2017-18 school year seems quite far away. You know, we're still in the midst of this year, but believe it or not, families with preschool and kindergarten children are already busy making arrangements for the next school year.
That's exactly right, Rebecca. In fact, last week, if our listening audience remembers, we had two Liberty Classical Academy instructors that joined us in studio, and they shared with our listening audience what to look for in terms of a good preschool and kindergarten program. One thing that parents may want to consider, though, as well, is whether or not to have their kids attend school where school uniforms are required. And in this morning's show, we want to take a look at the issue in general when it comes to schools with students of all ages. What does the history of school uniforms look like in this country? What are the pros and cons concerning school uniforms? We also have some statistics that show some trends in American schools when it comes to school uniforms.
Yeah, you know, I think our listeners know by now that I am the founder headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, where we actually do have school uniforms. And it is an interesting topic because when people come to visit the school, especially if they have older students, oftentimes those older students think, oh, I don't want to go to that school because they've got uniforms.
Right.
And then once they're in the program, they're thankful that they have uniforms because they don't have to think about what they're going to wear every day.
And they think of all the wonderful things that come along with wearing those uniforms.
Right.
And we'll talk about
we're going to be talking about that quite a bit. But before we do that, we're going to look a little bit back to the history. And Mark, I thank you for your research on this. It sounds like the whole uniform movement didn't really start until the early 1900s. And but that it was actually in the 1980s that public schools began to consider using uniforms. And one of the schools that you highlighted, the situation you highlighted, was in 1987, the Cherry Hill Elementary School in Baltimore, Maryland. They instituted a voluntary uniform policy. So again, this is a public school. And they did so because the year before, there had been a shooting that was linked to a $95 pair of sunglasses. Can you imagine that?
It's crazy.
It's really sad. And so I guess the school leaders must have decided that, hey, what if we have a uniform and we don't have to worry about some of these things? And so they put it out there as a voluntary program, but most parents actually supported the idea, and almost all of the students wore uniforms. And interestingly, after they did this, they were actually, unbeknownst to them, they were kind of running a little mini study here. They found that there were lots of noticeable improvements in the school culture after instituting the uniforms. They found some of the things that they listed is that they noticed that there was an improvement in the students' frame of mind, that the uniforms had sharply reduced discipline problems. And they also reported that the uniforms had reduced the preoccupation of students with expensive designer clothing for the school year and eased the financial burden that was placed on the students' families. That's pretty
clothing,
interesting.
That's such a big one, especially with the new fads and the designs. And I remember the Air Jordans as I was growing up,
right.
The Converses. Everyone was like, do you have the newest pair? Do you have the newest pair?
Yeah, yeah. Interestingly, this is going to date me a little bit. Back when I was in high school, the big thing was Levi jeans.
The 501s?
I don't know. I don't know what the number was. I don't even think it was. I think it was before they had all the numbers. It was just a single brand for, you know, one for girls, one for boys.
Sure.
But prior to that, everybody wore all different kinds of jeans, and everybody suddenly wanted Levi jeans. And of course, then they went out of style for a while, and now it seems like they're back. So there's always something.
And there's always
in
that
the realm
retro
of fashion
effect too. I mean, something that, you know, was big 20, 30 years ago always finds its way
back. Oh, yes. They're very good at making us rebuy things, aren't they, after
we get rid of them.
So anyway, so uniforms kind of helps to alleviate some of that that we were just talking about here. But then I know that you've got a story about a in 1989.
Well, what's interesting about this, too, is that, I mean, this event that happened over this $95 pair of sunglasses, I mean, it was kind of like a little spark that set off this big forest fire in terms of school uniforms catching on in a lot of the public schools in the inner city.
Okay.
In fact, by the fall of 1988, 39 public elementary schools and two junior high schools in Washington, D.C., they instituted mandatory uniform policies as well. And so the uniform movement then quickly spread to urban schools, mainly low-income and minority students in Connecticut were on the receiving end of a lot of these school uniforms, as in New Jersey, New York City, where then Mayor Ed Koch, if you remember him, he was the mayor back in the late 80s. He said school uniforms encouraged, quote, a common respect and improve the learning environment, end of quote. In fact, he was so impressed by these changes that a pilot uniform program was introduced in New York City in 1989. So what's scary about this, okay, they're looking and saying there's this need and it seems to be working really well. But, you know, I remember a quote from Rahm Emanuel back in 2008. This is before he became mayor of Chicago. He said that you never want a serious crisis to go to waste. What I mean by that is an opportunity to do things you think you could not do before, end of quote. So what you begin to see here a little bit, even back in the late 80s, is government kind of starting to stick their nose in, a little bit of an intrusion that was going on.
And if uniforms were the only thing, it wouldn't be so bad, right?
Right. Starts with uniforms, it leads to another thing.
I tell you what, I'm much more concerned about some of the other things that the government has stuck their nose in over the last 25 years. But you're right. You raise a good point that even if uniforms are a good thing, is that something that we want dictated from a mayor or from a state level? And certainly not from a federal level. But in the spirit of government intrusion, let's take a look at how the federal courts interjected themselves in the student uniform discussion. Back in 1969, the U.S. Supreme Court case of Tinker versus Des Moines Independent School District, there was a situation where there was kind of arguments both for and against uniforms. And in the end, that the court ruled 7-2 that schools could not restrict students' freedom of expression as long as the student choices were not disruptive and did not have a negative impact on the rights of others. And what was happening back then is that students were wearing black armbands to protest our involvement in the Vietnam War. And school officials were evidently, you know, coming up against that. And the Supreme Court actually ruled in favor of free speech for these students to continue wearing their black armbands. And, you know, that really does raise some issues. You know, that's one thing to wear a black armband. You know, today you wonder, you know, if that were to happen when we have such polarization in our culture, what would that do? And would school officials even allow that in a public school setting today?
Yeah, especially when the culture is so fractured today. Yeah. There's a lot of divisiveness, a lot of division. It doesn't take much to kind of spark and actually deepen the lines of that division.
Right.
And I would imagine it's parallels almost on the same line to maybe how emotions were running high during the Vietnam War.
Yes, I think you're right. I think it was also a very similar time in our nation's history. And then the lower courts we found, or I'm going to give you the credit for this research, Mark. I can't take it myself. You found that the lower courts often favored uniform proponents, such as in the 1995 case, Bivens by Green versus Albuquerque Public Schools, Albuquerque, New Mexico. In this case, a federal district judge ruled that the desire to wear sagging pants, interesting, remember the date here, 1995. So this is a while back. We still see sagging pants on kids today, but that was maybe the more beginning of that movement, or that fashion statement, I should say. They wanted to prohibit it by the school, or it was prohibited by the school dress code. And they decided, that lower court decided, that it did not constitute freedom of expression. So this is different from the other case. Because it didn't convey a message, the other one where the black armband was being worn to protest the Vietnam War, they didn't right. feel that wearing sagging pants conveyed any type of a message, and nor did it represent an ethnic identity, nor have an association with a single racial or cultural group.
And see, the losing party in that, they argued that sagging pants were an element of hip-hop style that, you know, constituted a group identity. And they mm-hmm. were wanting that identification to fit under the freedom of expression guidelines of the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. So perhaps the ruling in that 1995 case there in New Mexico may have been influenced by what happened in California just a year earlier. Mm-hmm. It was the Long Beach Unified School District that became the first public school district in the United States requiring all of its kindergarten through eighth grade students to wear uniforms. So why was that? Well, the district announced that gang activity in the area created a lot of momentum for the policy. In fact, every large city in the U.S., they said, has been concerned about the gangs. The clothes really are an unofficial uniform of intimidation. Hmm. That was the quote that came from a spokesperson from the school district. And the governor of California at the time, Pete Wilson, he signed a bill allowing schools to pass provisions for mandatory uniform policies, though an opt-out provision was included. Hmm. And so this was kind of on the heels, if you will, of this legislation or this action that was taken in Long Beach. Mm-hmm. So other states mm-hmm. are catching on as well. In fact, the Education Commission of the states reported that as of 2008, 22 states specifically authorized schools to institute dress codes or uniform policies.
Hmm. Pretty interesting. And, you know, I think about the sagging pants thing. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like there's a lot of kids wearing sagging pants today. So maybe a lot of the schools don't have that policy anymore,
right.
though they won in court
right.
saying that they didn't, that they could require them to not wear them
right.
in Albuquerque. There must be a lot of school districts across the nation that have decided they're not even going to try to regulate them.
Right. And hip hop culture, though, has grown so
That's
much true. Since 1995.
That's a good point. That's mm-hmm. that. Like I said, that was at the beginning when we were first starting to see that happening. Well, we are going to be taking a short break. And when we come back, we're going to take a closer look at some of the the uniform, U.S. uniform statistics. I see U.S. on my script and I think upper school. We're going to take a look at some of the U.S. uniform statistics and then specifically look at tangible pros and cons for school uniforms in America's classrooms. Stay tuned.
And welcome back to Education Nation, where this morning we've discussed the history of student uniforms in the American classroom. We also now want to take a lengthy look at the many positive and negative arguments that surround the promotion of uniforms. But first, some U.S. uniform statistics concerning our nation's largest cities, Rebecca.
Yeah, and we might be kind of surprised to hear some of these statistics. I know I was. According to figures that were released in 2014 by the National Center for Educational Statistics, the total number of public schools nationwide requiring students to wear school uniforms has really increased significantly. Back in 2003 and 2004, that number was 13% of total public schools nationwide required students to wear school uniforms. By 2011-12, that number had risen to 19%. That's mm-hmm. a 6% increase in about the same number of years. And so that's pretty surprising. And then if you look at the number of just public schools at the K-6 level, the elementary school level, in 11-12, 20% of public elementary schools, K-6, enforced any uniform policy. Only 12% of secondary schools, which seems less surprising. And then 30% of K-12 public schools required uniforms back in 2011-12. And I know we were talking at the break and you mentioned, you know, I said, why do you think that number is so high for the K-12 programs? And you thought maybe the more the inner city programs, charter school type programs, where they're K-12.
And what's interesting too, you know, the number's pretty high on the front end for kids that are in the elementary schools. So it's to reach them, you know, at a time when they're impressionable, to really show them, you know, the seriousness of school and why they're there ultimately, to kind of begin maybe to start changing some of the thinking.
Right. Yep, yep. It's very interesting. And I know that that we have a lot of charter schools in the Twin Cities, and I think, and those that are K-12, I think all of them do institute a uniform policy. So that would be consistent with what we're seeing in the statistics as well. So some of the U.S. cities with the highest use of school uniforms in public schools, well, top of the list is Philadelphia with 100% of their schools.
That's almost a quarter of a million students. That's like over 250,000.
Is it really? Philadelphia is that big, huh? I was shocked. I had no idea that we had a city in our nation that had 100% compliance of school uniforms. It would be very interesting. I'd love to go back and maybe we could do a follow-up show at some point and look at academic achievement in those schools. It's hard to control for all the other variables, but because Philadelphia has some pretty tough neighborhoods, and I'm sure that's one of the reasons why they've instituted the uniform policy. But I would love to see if there's a connection between those uniforms in that city and their outcomes versus some of the other inner city schools in other states across the nation. So 100% in Philadelphia, 95% in New Orleans. Cleveland, 85% of public schools require uniforms. Chicago, 80%. Boston, 65%. And Miami, 60%. So those are some of our biggest cities with some inner city difficult neighborhoods.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, getting back to Philadelphia as well, too. I mean, this is a policy that really has been in place for a good part of the last 17 years. In fact, it became a requirement for all 250 plus of the public schools in May of 2000. And the city's Board of Education, they never believed uniforms by themselves would make students safer and smarter, but they have seen uniforms improve the school climate. In fact, one particular elementary school in Philadelphia, it's called Kearney Elementary, over a three-year period, the students complied with school uniforms. That compliance grew from 65% to a full 100% of the school's 410 students. And I believe that was over a 3 to 4 year period, if memory serves me correctly. In fact, the school's principal, he told Education World that they noticed a greater calmness to the school, a different mindset when wearing the uniforms, a change in attitude, and the mindset focused on learning, with reduction in the amount of teasing, fighting, classroom disruptions, and students suspended.
Interesting. Now, that really harkens back to the same things that were noticed at that cherry tree school back in 1987.
Right.
When they instituted a voluntary uniform policy and they found that almost 100% of the students came to school in them. Voluntarily, the parents volunteered. And some of the same descriptions were used after instituting the uniform policy there as well. So this is a consistent theme that we're hearing, that the students are more respectful, that they seem to have a different mindset when they're wearing uniforms, less fighting and teasing and classroom disruptions, just simply by putting on a uniform.
Right. It kind of just ups the ante, if you will, of the professionalism level. I think people kind of feel important as they wear something that's really sophisticated.
Right, right. Well, and when you compare it to what some of the styles have been over the years, I know that when my oldest son was in kindergarten, he attended a public school. And what was in style back then was for kids to wear sweatpants to school. And I remember thinking, how on earth are these kids supposed to go to school in a pair of sweatpants? It's like saying, relax, relax, relax.
Right, let's go to
but
sleep.
work, because you're at school. It's like, you know, complete double messages that these kids are being given if they're going to school in sweatpants or pajama pants, which was also really big for a while. And, you know, how can we ask the best of kids when the style of what they're wearing to school is relaxation clothes?
Now, see, I can relate to that because as I've worked on some things around the house that like needed some like very specific attention, if I was lounging, say like in pajamas still or had sweatpants on, I was more apt to really want to just kind of be distracted or go around the house or look at something else, as opposed to just remaining focused on the job at hand.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, I think I've actually talked to people who work out of their home, mm-hmm. and they say that they have to get ready. They can't just sit there in their sweatpants, or they won't really
work. It'll be too
much
like home.
Yeah, that's really interesting that you bring that up, Mark. Yeah. That's really true. And I guess the few times I've worked from home as well, where I'm actually getting up in the morning and actually going right into my work mm-hmm. at home, which doesn't happen very often because normally I would be at school, I am surprised at how it's the same thing. I just don't feel as sharp.
Right.
And then I just have to go and change and get dressed for the day and, mm-hmm. and then go back to work.
It makes all the difference, doesn't it?
It does. We humans, we're kind of odd, aren't we? Well, I know that you have some questions that you wanted to ask me regarding uniforms, at least specifically in my context here as Headmaster of Liberty.
Right, right. Well, and the nice thing is, you know, we just looked at, you know, some of the changes that came with a lot of the students in some of these school districts. And so what I wanted to do is look at some of the other benefits and positives that are associated with school uniforms, because it just doesn't have to do with whether we fight with people or we're at peace with them.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing is that I found that school uniforms improve relations between teachers and students.
Mm-hmm. And actually, I do think that when students look the part of a professional, the teachers are much more likely to treat them respectfully and as professionals. And then they are much more likely as students to respond to the teachers in a more professional and upright manner as well.
Right. And this reminds me so much of a conversation that we had with Benito Matias mm-hmm. a couple of weeks ago.
Headmaster of
Ascension Catholic
there
School
we go. Mm-hmm.
In North Minneapolis. They have 750 students in which they dress in uniforms. And the way the teachers address those students is that they are scholars.
Right.
And there has been that response mm-hmm. To the way they have been treated in a way that, you know, gave, you know, just that encouragement of, you know, why they were there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a really good point. And it fits. So wearing uniforms really fits with their whole attitude of wanting to really lift up the students and respect them.
Respecting the authority in the classroom on the students' end as well. They perceive to have a more positive attitude and demeanor mm-hmm. when in uniform as well. Another benefit, of course, that I was able to find in terms of school uniforms is that they help to prevent bullying. In mm-hmm. fact, clothes, they can be a status symbol in schools, and many families are unable to afford the newest fashions, which can be a point of bullying.
Mm-hmm.
In uniforms, they place everyone kind of on that same playing field. It prevents this dimension of bullying.
Right, right. Yeah, I think you heard me mention earlier that sometimes people come into this school thinking, oh, I don't want to have to wear uniform.
Yeah.
But it really is a great, great equalizer. And when you have a great equalizer like that, there is less opportunity for the bullying to take place. And, you know, we think of the classic example of a child that whose parents just cannot afford to buy them clothes that fit even. You
right.
know, maybe the pants are too short or what have you. And I suppose that could still happen in the realm of uniforms, too. But it's less noticeable. And in a context where students are wearing street clothes, boy, the difference is significant because you've got the kids who can afford the really expensive, you know, all the name brand clothes, and then the kids who can't. And
right.
so anytime you can avoid that opportunity for bullying, you're right. That is one of the biggest benefits of uniforms that I see. And, mm-hmm. you know, at our school, we do non-uniform days as a reward for various things throughout the year. And it always is interesting to me to see the kids come on the non-uniform days because
yes.
it does, yes, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, it does show their individual personalities through mm-hmm. their clothing. And we're not used to seeing them in their street clothes. So it's always really interesting and fun to watch what they decide to wear.
Right.
But it really does show that there is a distinction between the kids who can afford the really expensive, nice clothes and the ones who can't.
Right.
And so it makes me, every time I see a non-uniform day, I'm always relieved when it's over mm-hmm. and glad that we have uniforms.
Right. And I think, too, just because of the infrequency of that happening, it might be a point of celebration and where differences can be celebrated, given that, it's not happening on an everyday scale.
Yep.
Another benefit, a more productive learning environment. In fact, uniforms and dress codes reduce distractions. Plain and simple, students more at liberty to focus on academics and less on the competition and peer pressure of keeping up with the Joneses in terms of the latest fashion styles.
And and I kind of touched on that in the last question, but if you are distracted by seeing other people's clothing in class and wishing that you had that pair of jeans or that pair of shoes or that hair bow, it's just one more thing to be distracted about. And you know what? As human beings, we're distracted easily enough by other things. So we want to reduce that distraction as much as possible.
Well, with about 3 minutes left in the program, we'll go through a couple of these others rather quickly. It eases morning routines. Knowing exactly what you're wearing, it greatly reduces the amount of preparation and time required to get ready in the morning, and this can allow for a more restful night's sleep.
Well, I tell you.
It really helps reduce the stress in the student's morning routine.
Yeah, I wish, I've had many teachers say this, and I've said this too. Sometimes I think we staff need to have uniforms because, I tell you, there have been some mornings that I've been late for school because I couldn't decide what to put on. I definitely think it does simplify the morning routine.
Anyway, we also talked in terms of pros with student uniforms, the greater sense of community. Uniforms and dress codes, they can foster really a greater sense of ownership and belonging to the institution. Kind of like, you know, football fans when they pack a stadium and they dress in their favorite team's colors. You see how unified they are.
And, you know, I think back to, we even do that here at Liberty. We have spirit days where everybody shows up in spirit wear. And it is. It's really a community building time to see everybody banded together with the same school color, under the same banner, under the same values, and the uniform piece is really the tie that binds that all together.
And I just want to go ahead and touch on the last three or four here in terms of showing the con versus the pro arguments. One can be money saving. Well, those who are against uniforms would say, well, it undermines free education. I mean, after all, if you're going to send the parents out to buy clothing, you know, school uniforms, but that seems to be kind of a stretch because they're going to have to buy clothing for school anyway. And you know, the pro you know, rebuttal on that is that there's the pressure to buy the trendy items, and so that can only intensify the older they become. Also, another benefit, creative self-expression. Those who are against would say, well, uniforms, they stifle individual creativity. Clothing's a big way people can express who they are through style, but really, the pro argument would be, well, no, uniforms offer students opportunity to creatively find ways of self-expression outside of their physical appearance. Limitless opportunities academically, athletically, artistically, socially, and through their own unique personalities. Students, they benefit by learning self-expression and individuality when it comes from within.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I see the benefits of having the individuality through clothing, but I think you've got the weekends and the evenings to do that. At school, we see that dressing for success is not only an improvement on the learning atmosphere, but it prepares children for future jobs, and it really does give them a lesson in responsibility. So I am a pro-uniform person, and I just want to thank our listeners for joining in this conversation today. So I hope you'll join us next week for another episode of Education Nation. And for the previous episodes, we'd ask that you take a look at our podcasts through the Facebook page, Education Nation, and also through iTunes. See you next week.
Teacher, leave them kids alone.